Right, I'm going to call the House Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:04 p.m. on March 7th, 2023. We're meeting today in Davis Room 106 of the Capitol Building. And please, if you can find your cell phone, silence your cell phone out of courtesy to others. With us today, committee members, we have our Representative Sumner, Representative Ruffridge, Representative McCormick, and Representative Mina, and myself, the Chair, Representative Prox. We have a quorum to do business, and so I'd like to welcome all those that have joined us today from the departments and others. And I'd also like to introduce my committee aide, Riley Nye, our returning House Records Recorder, Suniva St. Clair, and Amanda Kraft, our teleconference moderator. Today we have four items on the agenda: House Bill 17, contraceptive coverage, Medicaid assistance. We have the fiscal note to adopt today. We have HB 58, adult home care. HB 59, Medicaid eligibility for postpartum mothers. And House Bill 60, which is the kind of the cleanup bill, if you will, for the executive order from last year. Okay, so our first order of business, House Bill 17, contraceptive coverage, which includes insurance coverage for contraceptive pills and medical assistance. And we need to adopt the zero fiscal note for this bill. And I guess before we get on, I'd like to welcome Representative Fields to the committee at 3:05. And Representative Ruffridge, do you have a motion for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that the 3-0 fiscal notes be moved from committee and attached to HB 17 as amended, which was previously reported from the committee.
Do we have objections? Seeing no objections, the fiscal note is adopted. Our next order of business is House Bill 58, Adult Home Care and Medicaid Assistance. This was a bill requested by the governor. The department presented this to the committee on the 17th. And do we have any need for comments from the department? Okay. And this bill is up for public testimony. Do we have, we have people on the line for questions, and we have Stephanie Wheeler. Is Stephanie online?
Stephanie Wheeler.
Okay, please put your give us your name and address, name and affiliation for the record, and continue with your testimony.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Stephanie Wheeler for the record, and I am the state long-term care ombudsman, and I have been with the program since December 2019. I'd like to provide public testimony for House Bill 58. The Alaska State Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program is so pleased to offer support for House Bill 58, the Adult Home Care Bill, which establishes a new residential setting category for adult home care services. This bill will also offer seniors in our communities an alternative to existing service and living environment options. The mission of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program is to provide resident-centered advocacy designed to protect the rights, the health, the safety, and welfare of Alaskans living in long-term care settings. We advocate to improve the quality of life for all seniors in Alaska. And often, while visiting seniors in assisted living homes, we frequently hear from elders that while they love their current living environment, they wish they could find an assisted living home close to the community where they have family or a home close to where they were born and raised. So, despite Alaska being the biggest state in the United States, it also has the fewest options when it comes to assisted living homes. This bill would offer an additional service option for our ever-increasing aging population and help to support elders to remain in or near their community of preference. So thank you for your work on this bill and for supporting the choices of elders to remain in their home communities. Appreciate the opportunity to provide public testimony today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wheeler. Are there any questions? Okay, next we have Patrick Reinhardt. Mr. Reinhardt, are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, please provide your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Sure. My name is Patrick Reinhardt. I'm Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. I'm from Homer, Alaska. And a few weeks ago, the Governor's Council, many of their members were down there in Juneau, actually supporting and providing a position paper in support of this bill. We'd be happy to provide a copy of that to the committee if you'd like. I'm not going to go through all the talking points of that the position paper, but I do want to say that we very much support this bill. We've been looking at this issue for many, many years, particularly as it relates to young people that are in therapeutic foster care, people with disabilities that grow out of their they age out of a foster care home and into adulthood. And when that occurs, it's sometimes a difficult transition. Families aren't allowed to keep caring for somebody. We believe that this is another opportunity, just another tool in the toolbox of home and community-based services that we should stand up. And we really support the bill. And thanks to the governor and the department for bringing this forward to the committee. And we hope that you support it as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reinhardt. Are there any questions from the committee? Okay, next we have Marge Stoneking. Ms. Stoneking, are you online?
Thank you, Chair Prox and members of the committee. This is Marge Stoneking, Advocacy Director with AARP Alaska. And AARP strongly supports continued expansion and improvement of home and community-based waiver services to better serve our fast-growing senior population, including offering a range of residential setting options. The vast majority of us, of course, desire to remain in our own homes and communities as we age and prefer a home setting over a nursing home or other institutional setting. Home and community-based services cost a fraction of what otherwise required nursing home care would cost, and the home care workforce crisis, combined with our rapidly aging population, is threatening access to HCBS for private pay and state pay alike. And that is already driving people into assisted living facilities. This could drive elders into institutional care, and because few can afford nursing home care, could ultimately increase the Medicaid rolls. That's why we need to use all the tools in the toolbox to expand home and community-based service options using proven service models from across the nation to offer choices to appeal to waiver recipients and prospective workers alike. Adult home care is one such solution, and AARP welcomes the administration proposing adult home care as an additional service option and adult care homes as a new residential setting for two or fewer residents. It's our understanding that HB 58 will provide a pathway to creating a lower administrative burden for operators than group assisted living homes as they exist now, and that the intent is to offer elders and others the option of more home-like settings with lower level services and fewer residents. AARP supports HB 58, and we look forward to working with the department on regulations required in the bill. And we further urge the state and the legislature to continue its engagement with community partners and in supporting additional initiatives that can support older Alaskans in aging in place, such as a participant-directed care service model. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And do we have any questions for Ms. Stonekey? Okay. Looks like in the room, Ms. Kim Champney. Please put your state your name and affiliation for the record and continue with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Kim Champney, and I am a Juneau resident, and also I'm the executive director of the Alaska Association on Developmental Disabilities. AADD has 81 members. Our members are organizations and care coordinators that provide services from Utqiagvik down to Metlakatla, and we're also a member of the Key Coalition of Alaska. AADD supports the option this bill provides for. The DD shared vision was added into statute in 2018. As its core, at its core, states that services should support Alaskans living the lives they choose with the support they direct. This vision guides our advocacy efforts focused on building a community-based system that can meet the diverse needs of all Alaskans. And as you all are very well aware, Alaska is struggling with workforce shortages that greatly impact people with disabilities and older Alaskans. AADD, as a member of Key Coalition, believes flexibility is an important part of fixing our system. This option provides another choice, especially in rural Alaska. By addressing this connects with the workforce shortage by offering another opportunity and way for care to be received. And so we see that often this service might have somebody come into that caregiver role who wouldn't typically apply to work at a provider organization. They aren't interested in being a professional caregiver, but they are a neighbor or a family member, and they see themselves as having a role in providing care. As our state ages, we have to be creative about how we provide care. We won't have enough workers with just the traditional models that we have currently. One story quickly comes to mind. So previous to this role, I worked in services for 20 years, and I think about this family where there was a mom with a disability, had two children with disabilities, and she was not able to take care of them. Uncle stepped forward when the children were really young, and they grew up in his home that was licensed under the foster care system. They both had Medicaid waivers. They aged out. I was there trying to help him turn his home into an assisted living home. It was very challenging. At that time, he was willing to jump the hoops, but if he hadn't, those two young adults would have had to move into a group home. They would have taken two spots that maybe somebody else could have moved into. And that's where this option will create that flexibility that will address some of the shortages we have in our system. So we look forward to working with our partners at the state if this bill is passed to flesh out the details. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Champney? Did I get it right the second time? Okay, thank you. Okay, and let me press a button here. That looks like all I have signed up. Are there any other individuals online that wish to testify on HB 58? Is there anyone else in the room that wants to testify on HB 58? All right, and with that, I will close public testimony. Yes. You know, there was an individual that mentioned that he had written testimony, and if anyone else wants to submit their written testimony to the committee, we'd be happy to receive it. Just send us an email at hhss@akleg.gov. Are there any further questions from the committee? And Director Newman, did you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Tony Newman. I'm the Acting Director at Senior and Disability Services, and I just wanted to thank you and the members of the committee for hearing this bill, for your questions when we presented it, and for your consideration. And I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Newman? For that, we were happy to hear the bill. Thank you for presenting it to us. Thank you. And with that, I would entertain a motion to move this out of the committee. Mr. Representative Breckridge.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move to report HB 58, version 33-GH, 1708/A, out of committee with the attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay. Do we have any objections? Seeing none. HB 58 will be reported out of committee, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the papers. This is HB 59, having to do with Medicaid eligibility for postpartum mothers. This bill was requested by the governor. The department presented the bill to this committee on March the 3rd, and there is a $2.6 million fiscal note. Are there any comments from the committee or Ms. Enright? Okay. So now I will open, there we go. Right, we will then open public testimony. It's now open. And we have, let's see, it looks like Dr. Michelle Nace online for questions. We will go on. We're learning how to run all this technology. There we go. We have a Miss Brooke Ivy from the Alaska Children's Trust. Miss Ivy, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Please put your, give us your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Brooke Ivy, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Alaska Children's Trust. As a reminder, the Alaska Children's Trust, or ACT, is the statewide lead agency on the prevention of child abuse and neglect. ACT is in full support of extending postpartum Medicaid coverage from 60 days to 12 months. This is a perfect example of primary prevention and could really not be more in line with our mission. Extending this coverage will give new moms more time to deal with any post-birth issues such as postpartum depression, which often doesn't appear until 6 months or more after a baby is born. Of all substantiated child abuse and neglect cases in Alaska, the majority of them involve children aged birth to four. That's actually 41% of all cases, with children birth to age one at highest risk. Postpartum depression is associated with an array of negative outcomes, including decreased child safety practices, reduced emotional developmental learning opportunities, decrease in health checkups, so they're really missing those key developmental milestones, and then bonding difficulty between mother and child, which is a primary predictor of child abuse. In addition, I'm sure you heard from the department, there's a this will reduce maternal mortality rates, ensuring mothers are alive and healthy to raise their children. And it helps, we think, protect new parents from medical debt in that first year, which really reduces that financial stress that can lead to abuse and neglect as well. For the National Kids Count program, Alaska ranks 44th in health out of all 50 states. So we are in full support of primary prevention steps, such as Senate Bill 58, to increase health outcomes for our children and families. We're excited to see Alaska join more than 35 other states who have made this extension permanent. We urge swift passage. There's a very long implementation timeline on this bill once in effect. And I thank the governor and for introducing this and the committee for your time. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Ivy? Seeing none, thank you. And we'll move on to Jamie Morgan, are you online?
I am. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jamie Morgan. I am the Senior Region Lead, Government Relations for the American Heart Association, and I want to express our strong support for this bill. As you heard, despite steep declines in global maternal mortality rates, United States maternal mortality rates have increased. Heart disease and stroke are the leading causes of death in new mothers in the United States, accounting for more than 1 in 3 pregnancy-related deaths, primarily due to cardiomyopathy, cerebrovascular disease, or other cardiovascular conditions. The death of a new mother represents not only the loss of a woman's life, but has a lasting impact on her new baby, her family, and her community. Instances of maternal morbidity have lasting health consequences and result in avoidable medical expenses. The American Heart Association recently released a policy statement, Call to Action, Maternal Health and Saving Mothers, issued in the flagship journal, Circulation. This statement sets a new policy agenda to ensure a healthy pregnancy, healthy birth, and healthy moms. Extending postpartum coverage in Medicaid is a key recommendation. We believe that ensuring expectant parents have access to care during pregnancy and for the first full year after giving birth, providing them and their babies the best possible start in life. The American Heart Association believes that this policy will address disparities and improve maternal and child health outcomes. Thank you for your time, and we urge your support for this.
Hey, are there any questions for Ms. Morgan? Okay, thank you, Ms. Morgan. And I don't see any other individuals waiting online. Are there any individuals in the room that would like to testify on HB 59? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. And we have, I think, Rebecca Morrissey, and she's a pediatric physician for Women's, Children, and Family Health online. I have that wrong. That would be Michelle Nace and Rebecca Morrissey for questions. Do we have any questions for these individuals? Okay, thank you. Are there any closing comments from the department? Courtney.
For the record, my name is Courtney Enright. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Health. At this time, we'd just like to thank the committee for taking the time to hear the bill.
We were glad to do that. Are there any questions for Ms. Enright? All right, thank you. And at this time, I would entertain a motion to move this bill from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to report HB 59, version 33-GH1583/A, out of committee with the attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
And do we have any objections? Seeing none, we will move HB 59 out of the committee, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the report sheet. Okay, we're back on record. And the last item on the agenda today is HB 60, which deals with quite a few things. It's the update for the executive order that was passed last year. And do we have anything to add from the department, Ms. Enright? Nope. And online we have, looks like, Robert Nave, the program manager, the Division of Healthcare Services. And I don't see anyone signed up to testify. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on House Bill 60? And with that, we will close public testimony. Are there any committee questions or comments on HB 60? With that, I think we will set this bill aside for further proceedings, and I have no other business for the committee today. So that, are there any member closing comments? And with that, thank you for attending. Thank you for all those who joined us online and in the room today. And with that, the Health Social Services Committee meeting is adjourned at 3:33 p.m.